I so wanted to just preach what, you know, from the Word of God tonight, and we will do that some here a little bit tonight. But I'm going to share just a few things before we do. I want to invite my wife to come up. Come on up, honey. Amen. I want you to meet her. She's the temper to my steel. And her name is Debbie. She's pastoring with me. I'm the pastor, and she's the associate pastor. And her and I have been pastoring there in Cedar Rapids since 2002. And you're loving every minute of it and just enjoying seeing God's Word bear fruit in people's lives. And she actually grew up in Kansas City.
I did.
Yeah, over a lot of it in
I grew up in Kansas City, Shawnee Mission, Kansas, Miriam. Yeah. But we were on the Missouri side as well for a period. And I have some family close to Independence and Excelsior Springs, Lawson. We have family over in Shawnee and or Olathe.
Yeah.
I've been here for years.
Yeah, and so she came.
I mean, Cedar Rapids, but, you know.
Yeah, she came to Bible school there at Rhema. We went to Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She came to Bible school there. And we went through 2 years of school, and I never met her. You know, it was a big school. Didn't realize she was at the school. And one day in the church history class, second year, third quarter, I remember this. She sat beside me in the church history class, and I had never met her. And, just talking to her and getting to know her a little bit. And she started, we'd go to the next class together, and we'd walk together and get to know one another a little bit better. And one day she walked to the next class with another guy, and I thought, what'd she do that for? And I realized I was falling in love. Praise God. But we got married here, right here in Kansas City.
You didn't
City.
Know it, but I was yanking your chain a little bit there.
But
he was being a little too slow, so I thought, well, okay.
Yeah.
He needs some competition.
But she grew up, like I said, here. I don't know if anyone knows over in, I think it's basically, I don't know where, do they say it's in Merriam or somewhere? There's a church over there, over in Kansas.
Antioch Family Worship Center.
Yeah, it's now called Antioch Church, I believe.
It's my home church, Pastor Dennis and Rhonda Slavens, but actually now their son pastors there, and we were married there.
We were married, Pastor Dennis married us.
Yes, and so wonderful, wonderful people.
Yeah.
You know, we are just so excited about what God is doing in this whole Kansas City area. And you may say, well, what in the world are you here? Aren't you pastor in Cedar Rapids? We are. But you know what? God has just dealt with us ever since we've been young to just be about the plan of God.
Yeah.
And these are the last days.
Yes.
So we are just available. And with the help of a pilot in our plane and with the help of, you know, and we will be purchasing a home here. And we will be traveling back and forth. And we've established the church there in Cedar Rapids. Mm-hmm. And they got their big boy pants on now to help out. Yeah. So anyway, God wants to get some people saved here, filled with the Spirit, healed, whole, and just training, you know, even those called into the ministry and what have you. So that's just our hearts. Our hearts aren't to come start a church to have a big name and that type of thing. It's and there's nothing wrong with being well known if you're doing something for God. Nothing wrong with that at all. We're not.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's not our heart. Our heart is to just be about the plan of God, and really train people in the things of the Word and the Spirit. So I just want to say thank you for coming here. Thank you for being a part of this time. You know, just keep coming back and just see what God says to you.
Amen.
See what, I don't have much time to, you know, so I'm just going to put it out there now. Just see what God says to you. Come back in November, you know, come back next year as we have more services, and he'll talk more about when we believe we'll be starting the church and what have you. Bring your family, bring your friends.
Amen.
We're not going to proselyte anybody if they're from another church. We will always encourage, and we have relationships. These pastors, they've known us for years. We will send people back to their church and tell them, you talk to your pastor.
Yeah.
If you feel led to this church, you talk to your pastor, and you get, you know, you talk to him and make sure that he's on board with that. So We love our people, Cedar Rapids. You have just been wonderful. They've come back and forth. They've been coming to different antique shows and all kind of things, inviting people, coffee shops, and we'll continue to do that.
Amen.
Yeah. And we'll just continue to canvas the area and let God bring people that need to be hooked up here. Amen. Because there are other good churches as well. And all these individuals up here have wonderful churches.
Absolutely.
But they're all more than a half hour away. We made sure of that. So anyway, I just wanted to say that much, and thank you for coming.
Amen.
We appreciate you and look forward to visiting a little bit more afterwards.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, honey. She went to William Jewell College back in the 80s, I believe it was. And so then she, of course, we got married after going to Rainbow Bible Training Center, and we got involved in the Kenneth Hagin Ministries Healing School there for, I think it was 6 years, involved quite a while ministering to the sick. And God gave us a healing and ministry at that time. We saw many, many people healed there at the ministry, Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And we traveled on the road for a while and saw many, many people healed in their bodies because we believe it's a part of the covenant of divine healing for our bodies. And He took our sicknesses and He took our sin. So that was a part of our life. We traveled for 9+ years, mostly in the United States and Canada. And then we're now presently been pastoring in Cedar Rapids since 2002. And we didn't found the church, but we started pastoring the church in 2002. And many, 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 many things have happened. We could tell you stories, testimonies could be shared for the rest of the night. People, what has God done in their lives? And, you know, I believe the Word of God bears good fruit when it's preached. The Lord confirms His Word with signs following Him. We've had many, many good testimonies. But so really, we started a daycare there also then in, when was that? 2009, I believe, there in Cedar Rapids. And the daycare has flourished and grown. The only limits we have is the size of the building and the number of people we can find who are qualified to serve. We got a waiting list, a lot of good kids. We see children. We have meetings for them. We invite them to come. And the parents to come a couple times a year, maybe Easter or Christmas or something like that. And the parents will come. We'll put on something for the kids. And we'll see dozens of kids saved, parents saved, and come start walking with God. And so it's just a wonderful, wonderful part of the ministry there in Cedar Rapids. And the Lord put it in my heart to do that here. We'll be starting a daycare here as well after the church gets started. So praise the Lord. Just a few things I thought it'd be good for you to know. People want to know, you know. They don't know you. They don't know. They just assume you're a good guy and not a thief or something like that, you know. So, but just to share a little bit about us, we are submitted in ministry to other ministers. We're not just out by ourselves, just sort of, you know, lone ranger kind of people. We have connections that speak into our life and that we're submitted to and that we, you know, give voice into our life because we believe that's scriptural. We are ordained. We have been ordained for years with Kenneth Hagin Ministry, and we're now also ordained with Dr. Ed Dufresne. He went on to heaven, but his wife now, Pastor Nancy Dufresne, is our pastor from Marietta, California. I don't know if anyone here knows her. She's just recently become a victory programmer on Brother Copeland's Victory Network, victory programmer. And but we've been, you know, in a part of her ministry for years, and she has a ministerial organization called Fresh Oil Fellowship. I think maybe most all these ministers are from that fellowship, but we've been a part of that for a long time. And years ago, Dr. Ed Dufresne, before he went to heaven, he asked us to be on the board of that. And we're on that board for Fresh Oil Fellowship and have been for all these years. And so they speak into our lives. Other ministers speak into our lives. And we submit ourselves to them because we believe it's right to be submitted to others. And so then we've done in ministry, we've written several books. We've got podcasts and, what do they call them? Anyway, a lot of different things that they produce out of the sermons. They send them out and people get them. And all over the world we get testimonies. I think we shared one service recently, I think it was 39 countries following the podcast. Different people in different countries following the podcast. just wonderful. I mean, you see the pictures of some of them on YouTube, and I remember one from Saudi Arabia had the turban, you know, they wear, and he's watching our podcast. It's just a blessing. So such a blessing how the Lord's gracing us to help and reach people. And so we've had an online Bible school for years, or a number of years. We've got that available. We planted a church in Abuja, Nigeria 7 years ago. There's a pastor there, a spiritual son to us. They're pastoring that right now. And so just letting you know a little bit about what we're doing and who we are. You might recognize up in Spirit of Faith, Cedar Rapids, you might recognize some of the people we've had in to minister. If you're wondering, you know, what kind of church is it? Many people know Richard Roberts. He was at our church, been to our church a number of times, son of Oral Roberts. Tremendous healing ministry, and God uses him. We've seen some tremendous healing ministry. Some of you might know Jerry Savelle. Travels a lot with Brother Copeland. He's been to our church, and others that maybe you know, maybe you don't. But I just wanted to introduce, you know, a little bit of who we are and what we're doing and so forth and so on. But, you know, I believe tonight we just want to share a little bit about what the vision is for here in Lee's Summit. Amen. How did you get to Lee's Summit? What happened? I mean, you know, it's got to be the Lord, because it never was part of my plan. Not that I don't enjoy it. I'm getting to love the city quickly. But I've been to Kansas City many, many times. Of course, whenever this young redhead started. After we graduated from Bible school, she moved back to be the youth minister at Pastor Dennis Slavin's church there, now called Antioch Church. And you know, I found myself, my Toyota Celica, running up this way for some reason. And been here many, many times, been to see family many, many times. It's just kind of a second home to us. And we were praying one day. I was here, and I was praying. Like somebody said one time, just praying, minding my own business. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I don't mean audibly, you know, but I just mean I knew in my heart what He was saying to me. He said, there's a further plan for your ministry here. And that sort of surprised me. I wasn't, you know, planning that, wasn't thinking about that. But so I just kept on praying, and instantly I knew it was to plant a local church here. And so we've endeavored to share that vision with others, and you know, because you know Habakkuk, if you've ever read there in Habakkuk chapter number 2, I'll just share this with you here right now. It says that Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. And so what is the vision? What did God say? What is the vision for what we're here for? What are we here for? What are we doing? What do we believe God wants us to do? And so forth and so on. And so I thought I'd just share a little bit of what that is tonight. The Bible here says to make it plain so people can run that read it. If God's plan is that they be a part of it, you know, He said to make it plain. So the word vision is just, it's mentioned in the Bible a number of times. It says without a vision, the people perish. And God is the giver of divine plans. He's a giver of vision. He gives people assignments and things He wants them to steward in this life, things He wants them to mix their faith with and believe God for it to come to pass. You know, it's really, vision is a revelation of the plan and purpose of God for our lives. And He has a plan for all of us. It's a good plan. Remember, He said, I know the plans I have for you. One translation says, plans to do you good, not evil. He's got a good plan. It's a plan that it will bless your life. He's not trying to take anything from you. He wants to bless your life. And He said there that plan is to do us good. And I believe that really, the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. I believe one of the reasons is they have no, like one translation say, they without a vision, people run wild. Yeah. That just means, I believe that just means without direction. Yeah. The Bible, the written word of God, is God's direction for us generally. Everything He speaks to us specifically will be inside of the written word of God. Maybe you can't find a verse that tells you, you know, go to so-and-so place and marry so-and-so and get a job or so-and-so. But I mean, it'll be within God's bigger plan revealed in the Bible. And of course, His plan is for local churches. We know that in the Bible. And the body of Christ at large is made up overall of local churches. And everybody that's born of the blood of Jesus is part of the body of Christ. And but anyway, He spoke to us and gave us a vision for planting a church here. And it'll be very similar as far as the vision in Cedar Rapids. It'll be very similar here. Because, you know, the purposes of God are the same, regardless if it's here or if it's in India or if it's in Africa or wherever it is. And so we have been praying in just seeking God about what He wants us to do here with an open heart, with no pre-planned agenda, with no thinking of our own. You know, God doesn't need us to mix our thinking with His plans. He wants us to find out His plan. Yes. And so His plan and purpose for our lives is really the very foundation for, you know, moving forward. You know, we act on the Word of God. The written Word of God is God's overall plan. He has a plan for us. You know, remember He said in John 10:10, He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And He came to seek and save that which is lost. And so forth and so on. We know the overall big plan, and we all have a part in that. I've been reading the Bible for a number of years, and I don't see the ministry of a pew warmer in the Bible. God has a plan for all of us. It's not all, maybe not all of us pulpit ministry, you know, preaching behind a pulpit or something like that, but He does have a plan for all of us. And He has a plan for doing us good and blessing our lives. But He also has a plan for us to work in the kingdom. Yes. And so that plan is revealed in the Bible. But then, you know, there's a lot of the specifics that you don't know from the Bible about the specifics. You know, the general plan. You remember the Bible says we're to, you know, for example, we're all to bring forth the, you know, fruit and bear fruit. You know, the Bible talks about all of it, John 15, bearing fruit. We're all to bear fruit in the kingdom of God and, you know, bring our supply to the kingdom of God. We all are anointed to be a blessing. Yes. So, but that fruit, you know, where do I put my hand to? What do I do? How do I find where I fit? You know, Ephesians, 4:16, I believe it talks about we're fitly joined together. The body is fitly joined together. You know, where do I fit? Where do I connect? What am I supposed to do? Yes. You know, am I supposed to be a businessman or a businesswoman and you know, reach people there, of course, share Jesus with people you come in contact with, and then, you know, and be a financer of the kingdom or what am I supposed to do? Well, those specifics, yes. You know, the generals are general parts of God's plan is in God's Word, but the specifics you're going to have to find out between you and God. Yes. And praying that out, praying and seeking God, and He's faithful. He'll show you. He would be unjust to, you know, one day we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account, you know, for our lives. Well, if He has a plan for our lives and we're going to give an account for that, if He won't reveal that plan to us, then He's unjust. How many of you know He's not unjust? He's just. He's faithful. He will reveal that to you. He wants us to know it more than we want to even know it sometimes. And so we seek Him, He'll show us. Well, that's what vision really is, that revelation of His purpose and His plan. You know, generally, like I said, we don't want to leave out the Word of God. Generally, it's all in the Word of God, but like I said, specifics. You know, you don't have a verse that says, "Thus saith the Lord to Joe Smith, Mary, 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 Mary," you know. You gotta work that out between you and the Lord. And how does He guide us? He guides us by the inner witness, you know. And so, but that plan is the very foundation. I'm talking about the written Word of God, first of all, but then second of all, the specifics. That's the very foundation of what you mix your faith with. Yes. Yes. We don't put any experience in prayer or anything we think God said to us in prayer above the written Word of God. Everything God said in His written Word, everything God says to us by the Holy Ghost will agree with the written Word. Yes. You know, because the Word and the Spirit agree, the Bible says. But But without taking the time to get into all that, that's what the vision is that we're talking about. It's just a revelation of God's plan. And it's really seeing with the eyes of our heart what really God sees our life being or becoming. The Bible said to Abraham, I'm going to start preaching here tonight. He said to Abraham, he said, I have made you a father of many nations. And he didn't have a child yet. Didn't even have a child. And he said, I've made you a daddy of a whole bunch of people. It's going to become a whole nation. Whoa. That's in Romans 4. It says, well, Genesis talks about it, but then Romans 4 tells us about it. And then it says, I have made you. And then it says, Abraham mixed his faith with that, called himself what God called him, that he might become the father of many nations. So what we want to do is become what God said we are. Amen. But become what God said we are. And so when he gives us a revelation, like he gave Abraham a revelation of becoming the father of a multitude of people, a whole nation, actually nations. But he gave him that revelation. And how did he steward that? See, nothing God has planned for our lives comes to pass just because God said it. We have to steward it. How did Abraham steward it? He stewarded it by mixing his faith with it. And so that's really what we want to share tonight, what God has shared with us about some of the specifics of why we're here and so forth. And this is what he sees, I believe, us becoming down here. It comes through this time of prayer. You know, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to fill in the things that the Bible doesn't specifically say. You know what I mean? Like who you marry and things like that. But thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's our counselor. He's our guide. He's our teacher. And he knows the plan of the Father, and he wants to share it with us. Amen. So really a revelation of the vision of what, you know, vision is really a revelation of what God sees our potential being. You know, he sees potential in us that we don't even see. It's amazing sometimes. The people that have blessed my life the most have been people who saw something in me I didn't see. Because God helped them see something that I didn't see. They believed in me. Amen. And we all need somebody to believe in us. And first of all, God's the first one that believes in us. And he has a good plan. It's probably something you can't do. I'll just tell you ahead of time. Because if you can do it, then he doesn't get any glory out of it. So really, vision is seeing with the eyes of your heart what God sees your life being. And it comes by God speaking to your heart. I don't always mean audibly, if you know what I mean. I mean, God can talk audibly. The Holy Spirit can. But right on the other hand, I just know that you just know that you know down in your knower, you know, what God's wanting you to do. Is the children of God, Romans 8 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God's children have a right to be led by the Holy Spirit. And then it tells us how he does that leading. In verse 16, I quoted verse 14. Verse 16 says, his Spirit bears witness with our spirits. The witness of the Spirit is not even a voice. It's just an inner witness, an inner knowing, an inner peace, an inner assurance. And we all have that. The Holy Spirit lives in all of us that are born again. And we all know on the inside by that inner knowing what we're supposed to do. You might say, well, my head doesn't know. Well, I've been there. I know what that's like. But you got to quiet your head and spend some time in prayer and in his presence, feeding on his word and letting him talk to you. Ask him what he wants you to do. And he'll do that. And you'll be amazed sometimes what he sees your life becoming. Praise the Lord. So I want to just share a little bit about what he shared with us. Really, to me, vision is a revelation of the plan, which is the blueprint that really we're to put our faith on. It's a reality that God sees that you and I don't see yet. It's a reality that we see by faith because he's talking to our hearts about something. And so, revelation is really something that the Holy Spirit gives. It's a divinely granted or divinely empowered ability to see something that doesn't exist yet. And God has some things and some plans that don't, in this earth, haven't come to pass yet. He has a great harvest of souls here at the end of the church age. How many of you believe we're at the end of the church age? We're real close. But he has a harvest to get to reap before we're done and out of here. And so we want to be all about that. And the future that God has for a man can be revealed through this vision, through an inner seeing in your heart of what God's plans are. I'll just give you a couple of examples. I'm not trying to preach too long here, but I'll give you a couple of examples of people in the Bible that God gave vision. Like, for example, he gave Mary a vision of conceiving a child, you know, without a human father, with conceiving a child that would be the most important child ever born. And that would change the world, that would redeem all mankind, shed his blood, you know. That vision came to Mary. She had, in that case, an angel appeared to her, but that she stewarded that by holding those things dear to her heart and by saying to the angel, "Be it unto me according to your word." That's her mixing her faith with that which the Lord told her. You know, you've got stories like Noah. God gave him a vision of the destruction that was coming to the whole world because of all the sin and the things that were happening. And God told him to build a boat because he wanted to preserve a seed. You know, his family was really the only righteous ones left on the earth. And God wanted to preserve a seed and to repopulate the earth after the flood. And he stewarded that vision by the Bible says he prepared, in Hebrews, the New Testament says he prepared, by faith, Noah prepared an ark. He stewarded that vision by getting ready for it to come to pass. Sometimes people say, "God spoke to me." I say, "What's God? What are you doing to get ready for that to come to pass?" Mix your faith with that. Amen. And we've got, like I just said, Abraham and others that God gave a vision. Anyway, so let's just share a little bit of what he put in our hearts. I know God's put many things in many people's hearts, but what is tonight all about? Let's look at just a couple of things. I believe it'd be good for you to hear. Like I said, the Lord said to me back in May of 2021, he said, "There's a further plan for your ministry here." And at the time, I instantly knew. I believe this, the second part, was by the inner witness. I knew that it was a local church. And so, and then my head, my lightning quick mind kicked in, and my head said, "Yeah, but he didn't say that. He just said there's a further plan." And I'm trying to, you know, get back over in my head. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I mean, my rational mind just trying to rationalize and so forth. You know, I lost all peace when I did that. So finally I said, "Oh, I know in my heart what he meant. I knew what he meant." So I got back to where I had peace in my heart again. And so really, what kind of church will this be? I believe we ought to maybe make it plain, like it said there in Habakkuk. Really, it's a vision that God started teaching us about. He gave us a real vision for the local church. Now, there's many local churches, but as far as how he wanted us to conduct a local church, he began to teach me about that when he called us to pastor. He called us off the road, which we're doing some road ministry too now, but he called us off the road and had us pastor a church. He gave us a real vision for what a church should be. And so I just want to share that a little bit tonight. Really, it's a place where families... You notice the name, Spirit of Faith Family Church. That's the name some people maybe don't know quite. What does that mean, Spirit of Faith? Well, it's a term from the Bible, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Some of you are familiar with it. It says there that we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, Paul's writing by the Spirit of God, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, we believed, and therefore have we spoken, we also believe and speak. And that term is mentioned there, and then the you can see the spirit of faith taught in the New Testament, but you can also see it demonstrated all through the Bible. You know, when David went after Goliath, that's the spirit of faith. He didn't back away in fear. He ran towards Goliath, declaring what God had told him. And he conquered Goliath with the spirit of faith. Thank God for the rock, but without the spirit of faith, the rock wouldn't have done much. So David really exemplified it. He's the one that Paul is quoting from the Old Testament. David's the one by the Spirit in the Old Testament that wrote about we believe and therefore we speak. Really, the spirit of faith is the demeanor that gets into somebody. It gets into the Christian, the believer, gets into them as a result of the Word of God getting on the inside of them. You know, because we got saved, I mean, if you're going to get anything, get saved. You know, make sure you get that. But just because we got saved doesn't mean we're going to live successfully down here and walk out the plan of God or do what God intended for us to do, or that our life will look just like it's supposed to look. You know, what I mean by that is, really, there's a lot we could spend time on this, but Deuteronomy 11 talks about, he said, if the Word of God, he said, meditate on this Word, get it in your heart and your souls, he said. And he mentioned a few things, talk about it to your children and so forth. And then he said that you might have days of heaven on earth. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Is that even possible? Days of heaven on earth. Yeah. Well, you remember John 15. I'm trying not to preach as much. Y'all are pulling it out of me. But you remember John 15. It says, he said there, he talks about abide in me and I in you. And without abiding in me, you can't bring forth fruit, you know, and so forth. And he goes through then, he said, if you abide in me, and verse 7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. So he's talking about getting the Word of God in us. Getting saved is great. I don't mean that flippantly. I mean, if you're going to get anything, get saved. But I tell you, it's a little like the little boy in the corner of the street. The extra, extra, read all about it. There's more to the Christian life than just getting saved. There's the life of victory. Victory in our mind, in our thought life. Victory in our homes, our marriages, you know, through the Word, learning to walk in love with one another. The Bible says that the divine kind of love shed abroad in our heart. We learn to walk in that, and it'll transform our homes. And has many of our homes. I mean, you know, strife and things like that is not what God intended. So getting the Word in us transforms us even in this life to where our lives become days of heaven on earth. We ought to have heaven in our homes and peace in our minds and joy unspeakable and full of glory and soundness in every area. Victory in our bodies and victory in our finances. Victory in everything we put our hand to. Many, many of us could tell testimonies of victory over fleshly bondages and, you know, sins and things that we, you know, continually have fallen into. None of us are perfect. You know, as soon as we think we are, we find out we aren't, you know. I'm talking about in the flesh. Our hearts are right, you know. But anyway, so the spirit of faith is just I say it this way, it's the demeanor that gets on the inside of somebody that makes them always victorious in the circumstances of life. I mean, I don't know if you've turned on the TV any lately, but our world is sort of messing up, getting messed up. Society and culture and things are, you know, there's more division and hate and things like that. God has supernatural answers for these things. You know, a lot of these things in culture, people are endeavoring to fix it with natural solutions. But God, you know, the root of a lot of problems are spiritual. Yes. 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 They're not just natural. Thank God for good education, you know, college or whatever. That's all good and necessary. But that doesn't fix the hate in people's hearts. Only being born again and the love of God shedding abroad in our heart. And then learning to let that love dominate us. That's what will change society. Amen. So, see, but what that is that's something supernatural. The divine kind of love is not natural. Natural love, you talk about me, I'll talk about you. That's natural love. It's selfish, it's self-serving, so forth. But the divine kind of love is supernatural, and it changes a man. When somebody offends him, he returns good for evil, and But that doesn't happen because we walk in the flesh. That happens because we let that love in our hearts, the new nature, dominate us. And the answer to these things are supernatural. And really, to connect with the supernatural, I'm talking about God's power. To connect with God's power, you have to connect with the Word. The Holy Spirit confirms the Word. That's how things happen. The Word is the Word of God, the written Word of God, is the divine connector to the supernatural. Problems that are natural problems that are supernatural don't get fixed by the natural. They get fixed by the supernatural. And when we get the Word of God inside of us, the Word of God came inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural. It has answers, solutions. It has anointing and power to fix everything in our lives, to fix our bodies, to fix our finances, to fix everything, to fix our minds, squirrely minds. It'll make a sound in our minds. And so what we're talking about when we talk about the Spirit of Faith, which is the name of the church in Cedar Rapids and what we intend to name the church here, we're talking about the Spirit of Faith, the Word of planting the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds and renewing our minds with it, feeding our spirits on it so that it transforms our lives. Amen. It gives us new thoughts. Remember, God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher." But see, He didn't stop there. He offered us His thoughts. He's basically saying, as the rain comes down and so forth, so shall my word be, it will not return void. He's saying, my thoughts are higher, but here they are in the written Word of God. I offer you my thoughts. Take them. Take them. And so we can think His thoughts after Him and be transformed, like Romans 12:2 talks about, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That happens not at the new birth, that happens after the new birth. So that transformation, that getting the Word of God in us, that it imparts a spirit of faith. And rather than be fearful, intimidated, afraid, and full of hate or whatever, bound, so forth and so on, the Word of God puts a spirit of faith on the inside of us that says, listen, the power of God in me, greater is He that's in me, and by that power in me, I can overcome this. I can overcome this. And it just makes you victorious. I believe in always having victory. The Bible said, Paul said, He always causes us to triumph. And so when we talk about planting a church here, we're talking about a Spirit-filled church. We're talking about a church that preaches the Word of Faith message and brings people into encounters with God through the Word and the moving of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit confirms His Word. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 16, He confirms it with signs following. Oh my! Miracles, signs and wonders. So really, through the Word of God and through the move of the Holy Spirit, we believe God wants to plant a church here that brings people into encounters with God and empowers them really to always be victorious through the Spirit of Faith. And so I can tell you my testimony, which we're quickly running out of time. I should be done here. Is that clock right? Yeah. So I think it is. Is it 8? Yeah. So... But I was a teenager. I grew up in Pennsylvania on a farm, and my parents were Mennonites. And I was, of course, Mennonite, and I grew up with it was a good home. I appreciate my family and my upbringing. But I was tormented in my mind. I was harassed in my thought life. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But vexed with wrong thoughts tormenting thoughts. You know, the enemy's cruel. Yeah. He is not. He's against God's creation. He wants to degrade God's creation, make it less than God intended, and twist them and, you know, make them something God never intended that they be. Bind them up, and he's the one, the Bible says, he's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one area he came after me was in my mind. He wanted my mind. And he started coming for it and started tormenting me. And really, he does this to all of us. I just didn't know enough to stop him, didn't know how to stop him. And he started harassing me and tormenting me. And it got so bad, I had a almost a constant headache, just vexed in my mind. I mean, I don't have time to go into the details, and you really probably don't want to know anyway. But so I was bound by that. But then I started, I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, and they started teaching me the Word of God, and they started talking some about the mind. I thought, well, you know, the mind, I don't know much about that. I mean, you know, I didn't know the Bible talked much about it, but the Bible did say it could be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I was listening, and the Word of God started getting in me. I started realizing, wait a minute, these thoughts are not of God. God's not the author of confusion and torment. He's the author of peace. And that's something I don't have. Well, I had it in my heart. I was right with God, but I mean my mind was tormented. And so I started saying, I need some help. I need some help in this area. And my life, through renewing my mind with the Word and practicing, casting my care on the Lord and all the things I learned to do, the Bible said, Jesus said, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? In other words, thoughts can be presented, and I had to learn not to take them.
Right. Yes.
Learn to answer them like Jesus did in Luke 4.
Right.
He answered and said unto the enemy.
Yes.
And every time he spoke what God said about him and the situation, there in Luke 4. And so I realized I got to find out what God says about me so that I can answer him like Jesus did. And because that's the answer. I've got to answer. Well, that's good. Answering is the answer. Not taking the thought, but answering it and say, no, that's not true. It is written. So the process began for me of renewing my mind. Find out who I was in Christ. I felt so unworthy. I didn't feel saved most of the time. You know, what's feeling got to do with it? But you know what I mean.
Yes, sir.
But I just was just vexed a lot of condemnation and so forth. And I started saying what the Word said. It seemed so sacrilegious. I found out He was made sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And found out I'm supposed to say what God said about me rather than what I think about me. And I felt sacrilegious saying I was the righteousness of God in Christ. Me and I'd go hide somewhere under the righteousness of God in Christ. I didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
Felt like a hypocrite.
Come on.
But see, now somebody's telling the truth about it.
Yes, sir.
Somebody's lying about it. Either I'm the righteousness of God or I'm not. And I just decided God was telling the truth about it. And I started building that truth into my spirit. And learning what He had done for me and started renewing my mind to it and saying what He said about me even when I didn't feel like what He said was true. Like Abraham, he called himself something that God said was true, but it didn't look like it was so.
Yeah.
And I started doing that, and boy, I'm telling you what, the Word of God started getting deeper and deeper into my heart. And I remember one day I said the devil was harassing me, and I said it with boldness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And you know, he took off. You know, he always comes back, but he took off. And I thought, whoa, there's power in that Word. It got on the inside of me and it ran him off. I just said, I'm going to live this way the rest of my life. I'm going to say what God said about me. And it put a spirit of faith in me. And I got so much, my mind renewed. I used to feel terrible if somebody didn't like me. I felt terrible. I thought I was not worth anything, you know, somebody didn't like me. I felt terrible for myself. And I got my mind renewed and somebody didn't like me, and then I felt terrible for them. Amen. Because of who He made me, not because of I'm nobody in the flesh. I'm nobody in the flesh. We're nothing in the flesh. But I'm telling you, in Christ. Paul got into Christ through the new birth, and he found out who he was. And he liked who he was in Christ so well, he just said, I'm a man in Christ. Philippians, you know, that one of the verses in Philippians, he said, I knew a man in Christ. And he said in 2 Corinthians also, I knew a man in Christ. He's referring to himself. He said, this is who I am. I'm a man in Christ. And so, but it'll put a spirit of faith in you, and it'll change you, set you free from harassments and things like that, and just give you victory in your thought life, victory in so many things. And it'll be a church really with a really strong healing ministry. Strong emphasis on praying out the plan of God in the Spirit. I'll just be honest, that's why we're here tonight, because we pray in the Holy Ghost and find out what God's plan is tonight. And so then we teach the in Christ realities of who we are in Christ. If you go through your New Testament and just underline every time it says in Christ or in him or in whom or something like that. Just underline it, and then you start agreeing with that. You know, it'll change your life. We share those truths, and that'll be a big part of the church here. We share the truths of the authority of the believer over the forces of darkness. And that's very important in the day we live in, because the forces of darkness are trying to, trying to get it on before the tribulation comes, you know. But the church is the one that is authorized to hold these forces back. Pray and believe God and exercise the God-given authority. It's not something inherent in ourselves, but the new position we have in Christ, seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion. It says it there in Ephesians 1 and 2 and so forth. We teach and preach those real strong. We teach how to be led by the Spirit of God a lot. We teach the end time move of the Spirit. James talks about the last days. It talks about the early and latter rain in the Bible. And these last days would be an outpouring of latter rain. So we call it, people say, what kind of church it is? We call it a Word and Spirit church. And that's a term that was given by Dr. Ed Dufresne by the Spirit. He mentioned that Word and Spirit. We believe the Holy Spirit confirms the Word of God. And so, but we want to do that for adults, children, youth. Put that spirit of faith in them. Spirit of Faith Family Church in Cedar Rapids. We've got youth services and children's services. And I'm telling you, we've had children. I know one child, for example. This is a child in the daycare. Their grandmother had something wrong. Katie's not here. Is Kimberly here? Something wrong with her arm. It was partly paralyzed or something. I'm trying to remember what it was. This child came home from the daycare and said, Grandma, because Grandma's keeping the child, Grandma, Jesus will heal your arm. I'll pray for your arm. She said, you will? Yeah, I'll pray for your arm. Prayed for her arm, and her arm was completely healed. So we desire to see that in children. Children grow up in the things of God and go out and fulfill God's plan for their life. Youth ministry and so forth, where they're trained in the things of the Holy Spirit and they join the great army of God in these last days. Amen. So really it's a place for, children, youth and adults. But we really preach and teach as much practical as we can. Things that we endeavor to share things that, you can just actually walk outside the door and do it. You know what I mean? It's not real flat. I mean, I don't know. It's not real wonderful, but, what do I do with it? There's always something real practical in the services. And we endeavor to keep it that way. And we endeavor to feed people sheep food. Sheep food is just really practical down where you live, And so, really, we believe that that's God's plan here as well. So, God's plan for every believer is that they really be connected in somewhere in the body of Christ, in the local church. In the advent of Christian TV, which we highly support, we thank God for it, and internet, and so forth and so on. The message of God's Word can get out in so many different ways, and we thank God for all. We use it. We've been on TV there in Cedar Rapids, and we use the social media platforms. We believe in it. I'm not going to let the devil take it over. You know what I mean? So what I'm getting ready to say doesn't mean we don't agree with that. We thank God for it. We're going to even use it more. But my point is that just that is not the fullness of God's plan for believers. Hebrews talks about the more you see the day approaching, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And that's God's plan in the body of Christ. He calls us all sheep, and sheep out in the hillside, if you ever see sheep, maybe in another country or something on the hillside, they're flock animals. They go around in herds, And so we believe that's still God's plan for the local church. Really, so that we can come together and encounter God and God's solutions and God's Word and grow in faith and fellowship with other believers and be encouraged to go out and win, go to our world, whether it's in the job or, wherever we are, and reach people with the truth of God's Word. Amen. And help get this harvest reached. And so over in Matthew 9, 35 and 36, Jesus there, he saw the multitudes scattered. The people were scattered. He was going about teaching and preaching there and healing. And he saw the multitudes scattered, you know. He said, as sheep having no shepherd. They were scattered about as sheep having no shepherd. And that was and his heart got stirred. The Bible said he was moved with compassion because they were scattered abroad and fainting, it says there, as sheep having no shepherd. And so then he said, pray. He asked his disciples, pray, that laborers would be raised up. Of course, that would be anybody. Laborer would be anybody doing anything for God. We thank God for all laborers. But you can see the context. Primarily, he's talking about pastors, or the Greek word translated shepherds also translated pastor. And he was moved with compassion because they were scattered and their lives were scattered. That scattering there, I don't believe, just means the people themselves were scattered, but their lives were scattered. In other words, if you look it up, this word scattered in the Greek literally has to do with being chased by a predator. It's not just wander, you know, scattered. They didn't just wander off. They were chased by the predator. Of course, we know in the New Testament, Satan's the enemy. He's the adversary. He goes about seeking whom he may devour. And so Jesus was moved because Satan was scattering their lives, scattering the blessings that God intended them to have, and so forth and so on. And he was moved with compassion. In other words, his desire was that they be fed and nurtured like a shepherd would a sheep. And that word is translated pastor or shepherd, same thing. I'm not preaching the old-time shepherdship message where pastors control their lives. I believe that's out of the pit of hell. But I'm talking about, I don't even have any desire to do that, by the way. But I'm talking about what does the Bible say about pastors? What's the purpose of a pastor? Well, you know, you go over in the book of Jeremiah and he said, I'll give you pastors or shepherds after my heart, which will feed you the word of God. Ooh. That's what changed my life. I started getting my mind renewed and being fed on the Word of God. So he said that's after his heart. His heart is that his people be fed the Word of God. And Jesus there told us what the benefit of connecting in the body of Christ, because there's a place, every joint supplies, you know, what the benefit of being connected right is. He said, well, here's one of the benefits. Our lives won't be scattered. Now, that's not because of the pastor's good personality or leadership skills or something. It's because of the message of the Word. That's where the power is. That's where the power. And that Word will, you know, you put that together with over there in 1 Peter, Satan is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, which includes your faith in the Word of God. Resist him. He's basically saying this is how your life won't be scattered. You got the Word enough in you that it builds enough faith in you to resist the enemy. The enemy, there's only one thing that he'll run from, and that is the Word of God spoken from the believer. Or the anointing, under the anointing ministry. So it's through using our faith to resist the enemy that rather than the believer's life be scattered, all the forces of darkness are scattered that come against the enemy. Yeah. I mean, they come against the believer.
Come on.
I'm signing up for that. Anybody want to sign up for that? And we get that through, we can get things from whatever, social media and so forth. We can get that. But that doesn't mean that there's still not a place for us being in a local church.
Right.
I believe God still wants all of us to be in a local church, whether it's here or somewhere else. You know, somebody needs to be, you need to be feeding. Somebody said, well, you know, I can get that on YouTube or so forth. Yeah. Paul said, though, he said, I long to see your face, that I might perfect what's lacking in your faith. There's a place for getting the word through social media and so forth, but you can't. You can see the minister's face, but he can't see your face. There's some things in the Word of God that only work whenever the minister sees your face. Like we just read one in Matthew 9. When he saw the people, something stirred in his heart. And that happens throughout. We see that in the Bible. Like David, Samuel going down to Jesse's house to find which one of the boys was the right one for king. And God never told him who it was. He just kept telling him who it wasn't. And he wouldn't tell him who it was until the boy stood in front of him. No, it's not him. Nope, not him. All of them came by. Any more boys? Yeah, there's a little guy out there in the field. Go get him. They brought him in. The Lord said, he's the one. Why didn't the Lord say something until he got in front of it? Because that's just the way some things work. Sure, not everything works that way. We understand that. But that's the way some things. So we don't want to miss out on that part. Amen. Well, we believe really that's still God's plan for all of us today. And this really puts the Word of God in us. We won't take a lot more time here, but it does change our demeanor. It changes our approach toward what the enemy's coming against us with. And we believe that we ought to be the ones putting the enemy on the run. All authority, Jesus said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You go. You go. In other words, you go in that authority and tread down the enemy and so forth and so on. Let me give you a few more details here, and then we'll wrap this up. The church's name will be Spirit of Faith Family Church. And, of course, the Kansas City branch, it'll have its own 501c3. If you know what that is, that's a code in the tax code. That's being set up as we talk. The location of it is unknown now. We had a building we were negotiating on, and it just didn't seem right at the time. So we sort of backed away from that, but we will. The next meeting is November. It's not the normal church services yet, of course, but the next meeting will be there in the Gamber, what's that called? Gamber Center? Community Center on Independence Avenue there, right here in Lee Summit. And so we'll get the location from further services. We want to, over in January, one time in January, have a meeting, and then in February, and then in March, and we're thinking maybe somewhere around April we'll start full-time services. This coming April, 2023, and that'll be Sunday mornings and Tuesday nights, and probably at 10 o'clock Sunday morning as far as we know right now, and Tuesday nights at 7. And so we seem to have a leading. The Lord really put it in our hearts to continue to pray it out and the vision for it. And we keep getting direction, and we're just following the Lord. So you believe God with us for how He wants us to take these steps. And so we're believing for a permanent building. I really believe that's important. And wonderful. Last Sunday, if you're from this area, maybe you heard about it if you got the post on social media. But last Sunday, the Lord had put it on our heart to receive an offering there in Cedar Rapids for the church plant here. And the Spirit of God just anointed it, and with no pressure, no manipulation, no just telling people, here's the vision, pray and see what God wants you to do. We want to be a part of it, and sow our seed. And $200,000 came in to plant the church here. So now we're committed, you know. We can't spend that anywhere else. We're committed. So... but that's such a blessing. We thank God for everyone that sowed. We believe they'll all get a harvest off of that seed. And so, like I said, we're going to continue to have these kinds of meetings just to share a little bit what's on our hearts. And anybody that's interested, if you have a good local church and it's feeding you, I insist you stay where you are. Especially these ministers. We've preached in some of these ministers' churches, and I have a covenant agreement with them. Somebody comes from their church over, and they just kind of like my personality, maybe different than theirs, or whatever, vice versa. We have an agreement. We'll just talk to one another and say, hey, you know, one of your sheep is over here. You know, so because we believe in being honorable. And listen, if you have a good Bible-believing, faith-building, you know, church that's feeding you and that you know that's where you're supposed to be, we insist you stay there. Because really, we're not a sheep thief. Right. Amen. 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 And so, and we encourage you to come as you are. You know, we don't have any dress code. You might see some of us dress a certain way, but that doesn't mean that's the dress code. That's just, we you know, if the best you have is a pair of dirty jeans with holes in them, come.
Amen.
Just don't let what other people do or don't do keep you from getting what your heart's hungry for. If your heart's hungry for something, and listen, nobody's gonna look down their nose at you or anything like that. If they do, send them to me. Because that's not our heart. We just want you to come as you are, and just receive what God has for you. But so we'll be conducting some more of these. Like I said, November is the next one, November 11th, and just continue to share what's on our hearts. And in the meantime, I think most of you have signed up for some of the social media things. We do have a Facebook page, like I mentioned. If God stirs your heart and He says that this is where you belong, and so forth and so on, well, let's just say it, congregation from Cedar Rapids. What do we got to say to them?
Welcome home.
Welcome home. Amen. Welcome home. Stand up with me tonight. I think we've gone long enough.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. If you know other people that are hungry for the things we're talking about and growing by in the Word of God like we're talking about and the move of the Holy Spirit, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, and the gifts of the Spirit, like we find in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And those things are still for today. And if they aren't, I'm not sure why they've been happening in all our services, you know. Hallelujah. Father, we bow our heads in Jesus' name before you, thanking you for your blessings and your word. Thank you for every person here tonight. Father, they're precious in your sight. And Father, all we want for them is your plan. They don't belong to us. They belong to you. And your plan for them be done. Your plan for whatever church they're a part of or belong to, your plan be done for them. Father, if whatever your plan is for our congregation, this new congregation, this community of faith that you're asking us to raise up, whatever that plan is for this, we just say it'll all come to pass. Everything that you have in your heart, Father, it will all come to pass. Father, just like you joined men to David and knit people's hearts with David, Father, we thank you for knitting people's hearts that you want to be here with us and knitting our hearts with theirs. In the name of Jesus, we receive them, we receive that. Anyone that you want, Father, each one of us belongs to you. We thank you, Father God, for the precious Holy Spirit that guides us and teaches us and lets us know what your plan is. Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise for all the miraculous provision and miracles and things you do to continue raising this congregation up. Father, we believe you for the harvest in Lee's Summit and Blue Springs and all these areas around here, Father. We thank you, Father, for the harvest of the last days. We thank you for the outpouring of the Spirit on Kansas City. We thank you, Father, for these harvest tools, the anointing of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit to reap the harvest here. Oh, thank you for full manifestation of it. And Father, we thank you tonight that your heart will be gladdened in all that happens here in Kansas City area. In Jesus' name, thank you for the honor of being a part of it, Father. Whatever it costs, we'll pay the cost for your will to be done. Hallelujah. Not our will, your will be done. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory and all the praise. We thank you for it. Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Is the worship team ready to come back up? We're going to sing, and then they're going to maybe go through a verse or so of the song they're singing, and then they're going to dismiss us. You're welcome to go, of course, whatever you'd like to do, but then if you would like to, through this door, I believe. Is this through this door? There's not much room out here, but there's a little room out here. There'll be some of us out there. We'd be glad to talk to you, fellowship with you. And we even have a little bit of food, I believe, something over here. So And thank you. There's also a book table over here, product table, and then also some information if you want more information. Talk to us if you have questions. We'd be glad to answer them. If we don't have the answer, we'll find somebody that does. And we just enjoy fellowshipping with you, getting to know you if you have that desire. If you don't, that's fine too. We understand. So let's sing. They're going to sing. Okay, honey, come on up. You want to sing with them?
Sing.
All right, good. Praise God. What are we singing?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Amen.